First of all, where's Kiel and where's Germany? I think you know where Germany is, but Kiel is in northern part of Germany near the Baltic Sea. And we have there quite humid climate with an annual precipitation rate of about 760 millimeters, quite evenly distributed over the year. The temperature is rather cool, 8.9 degrees Celsius over the year. And the soils are not too good. We have a young moraine landscapes, sandy loams, loamy sands, but on the other hand, due to the very good climate, we don't have any risk of droughts during most of the growing seasons. We have a very high yield potential there. The normal crop rotation there is oilseed rape, wheat, barley, and average yields, for instance, for wheat are up to 10 tons per hectare. The average yield level for Schleswig-Holstein, where Kiel is, the federal state of Schleswig-Holstein, is about 9 tons per hectare. We had years of about 10 tons per hectare. And the other main crop in this rotation, of course, is oilseed rape. Of course, also with quite high yield potentials here, up to 5 tons per hectare, which is very high. And average is beyond about 4.5 tons per hectare. And we have, during the last years, a very huge increase in the area of oilseed rape in Schleswig-Holstein, but all over Germany. And the main reason for this is that we have an increase in biodiesel production capacities in Germany. You know, about 1.6 million hectares of oilseed rape in Germany, 1.1 million hectares is used for biodiesel production, so two-thirds of the whole production are already used for biodiesel production. And also rape, on the other hand, has a quite low nitrogen use efficiency. Yes, and this is mainly thought to be a consequence of the low nitrogen harvest index of oilseed rape. And due to the crop rotation, oilseed rape, winter wheat, there is quite low nitrogen demand of the winter wheat following oilseed rape normally on our fields. And therefore, we have a high risk of leaching losses, especially in the northern part of Germany, where I told you, where we have a quite humid climate. So, and on the other hand, we have an increased external pressure to increase the nitrogen use efficiency in our cropping systems. We have the EU Water Framework Directive, which is going to be effective in the next years. So, the target is to have to be on average over the main groundwater regions and nitrate concentration less than 50 milligrams or even 25 milligrams nitrate per liter. And the national legislation also is taking part in this pressure. We will have a maximum farm nitrogen balance of about 60 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare on average of the farm over a three-year average. So we have to increase the nitrogen use efficiency, and especially oilseed rape, there is a quite problematic crop we have there. So the aim of the study I will give you is just to evaluate and to even develop some strategies to improve the nitrogen use efficiency within these oilseed rape-based cropping systems. And mainly I will talk about agronomic practices here, tillage, crop rotation, and I will show you one result of a simulation study we did on altering the harvest index of oilseed rape. Results are based on field experiments and on a simulation study. And then we have another part of the whole work here, which deals with the optimization of the end fertilization to oilseed rape, where we had just an empirical approach to look at different measures to optimize the nitrogen rates for oilseed rape. So let's go first to the field trial, which is also the base for the simulation analysis I will present you. And it's focused on the nitrogen flows after the harvest of oilseed rape. So the normal practice was, I should say, to have winter wheat as a succeeding crop and to have a quite intensive tillage, including the bluff, as a main tillage practice here, which, however, has a disadvantage that you have an intensification of the nitrogen flows due to the tillage practices here. More and more farmers are going to kind of conservation tillage practices, including then glyphosate for controlling the voluntary oilseed rape, which is normally emerging after the harvest of orchard grape, and which can cause some phytopathological problems here in the rotation. And yes, the practice we had here in this experiment was even a little bit more less tillage and even a delay in tillage here after the harvest of orchard grape. And then we looked at the third option we thought would be a possible measure to decrease the nitrogen losses after the orchard grape. And this was to change the crop rotation to have a summer crop, a spring crop, after orchard grape, and to have a winter cover crop or catch crop. This can be an artificially established catch crop or winter cover crop like Phacelia tanacifolia we introduced here, but this can also be the voluntary orchard grape, which is coming up normally after orchard grape. And yes, and we tried then to analyze the nitrogen flows, and we measured some of the parameters I've shown here, soil mineral nitrogen, soil water content, the carbon and nitrogen amounts and concentrations in the rapeseed and sheet ropes at harvest, and then an uptake of the succeeding crops, wheat, catch crop, and phacelia in a monthly or a fortnightly interval. And then we tried to model the nitrogen flows in the system, and the central pool in this model, of course, is the nitrogen, the soil nitrate pool. Of course, we had a layered pool. I want not to go too much into the details here. And then we had also a simple mineralization model, which calculates mineralization from the crop residuals. We had two pools of easily decomposable and more or less easily decomposable nitrogen, and the humus nitrogen here was in the soil. However, essentially the model is carbon-based, so but just for simplicity, I've shown you here the nitrogen flows and the nitrogen pools here. And we introduced some tillage influence here because we had this in the experiment. We had different tillage practices, and we did this in a very simple empirical way. So we had a tillage factor which is increasing to a certain amount after tillage practice, and then it decreases according to a parameter which has to be empirically estimated from our experimental data. And we may have also some additional effects of two tillage practices which are performed in a short time interval after each other. So, and then we had here, of course, the N uptake flow here to the succeeding crop, which might be the winter wheat as a succeeding crop, or the catch crop we have here. And this is calculated by a very simple dry matter production model for both crops. And then we have, of course, the main interesting point here, the leaching flow of nitrogen, which causes a loss of nitrogen. Also then we can calculate the concentration of nitrate in the drainage water. And therefore we had also a soil water model here, which then also calculates the soil water contents, which have an influence on the mineralization rates and of course on the drainage rate, and therefore here on the leaching. So it looks a little complicated, but we tried to make the most simple possible approach, especially for the mineralization part of this model. The starting point for this mineralization model was a model from Baberne, which is quite similar to another model of Müller, and we reduced the number of pools here. And essentially, we had then, after reducing the number of pools, four parameters. We added tillage as an influence factor, so therefore we had two additional parameters. But on the whole, we are then able to estimate most of the parameters of the model from our measured data of the field experiment. And we then had, of course, independent validation data from a previous experiment on the same site, which was running there for 5 years in the same location as Celdoray. So let's come to the results of the simulation study and some of the measurements. So what is shown here is the nitrogen flows, the nitrogen dynamics after the harvest of orchard grape, which was normally in August here. And here on the upper graph you have the calculated N uptakes, the calculated leaching, the calculated net mineralization rates, and the measured N uptake here in the control treatment winter wheat plowing. And you can see that we have this was a warm autumn, a quite low nitrogen uptake. Normally it's even lower, of 30 kilograms. And we have here net mineralization starting quite early after the harvest of the oilseed rape. Let's now go to the down lower part here of the slide. Here the soil nitrogen contents are shown for 0 to 30, 0 to 60, and 0 to 90 centimeters. And so a cumulative way, and look here, the axis is inverse, so we have an increase here down to the lower edge of the scale. Due to the mineralization, the nitrogen amounts are increasing. Then we have the uptake of the winter wheat, and of course here the soil nitrogen values in the soil are decreasing, especially in the upper soil layers. And then leaching starts, and then of course we have another decrease here of the soil mineral nitrogen content. So as the whole system was successfully described, we think by the model, I will show some statistical data on this later. And now we look at the other treatment, the winter catch crop. Catch crop Fritzelia had a much higher uptake potential for nitrogen. Okay, and then we have a very rapid decline here in the soil nitrate content here in the soil. So let's end up with the main results here. We started in our treatments with soil mineral contents of about 50 kilograms per hectare. There was no much difference. We had then an uptake of the succeeding crop, which was quite different. Much higher values here for the catch crop Fritzelia, and lower values here for the winter wheat treatment. Here in the conservation tillage treatment, we had an additional uptake of about 20 kilograms for the volunteer rape. The cumulative net mineralization was about 50 kilograms per hectare, and this was a little bit lower here for the catch crop treatment because of lower soil water contents. The leaching was quite different. However, the values were low in this year because the long-term drainage was higher, or in this year we had lower long-term drainage rates than in the on the long term. And here, the last slide shows these values, or the last row here. The drainage water was much lower than on average, and we had, of course, an impact here of the catch crop also on the drainage rates. But on the nitrogen concentration, we also have differences between the system, and we can see a decrease in the leaching, but not similar decrease in the nitrogen concentration here in the drainage water. Here are the statistical results. So the overall model performance was quite good for the primarization data set and here for the validation data set. And I have to skip some of my slides. It's a little bit. So the end dynamics after harvest could be described using this mechanistic model. Leaching was, of course, decreased here by the catch crop treatment. However, there's some kind of an economic loss of the whole cropping system because of the lower value of the summer crops we have. And yes, I didn't show you the results, but a little bit astounding was that we had here for the scenario calculation no positive effect of an assumed increased harvest index of oilseed rape. This was mainly because we also lowered then the amount of carbon in the crop residues, and this then also lowered the immobilization of nitrogen due to the crop residues of the oilseed rape. So I just have to go to the end. So we could see that conservation tillage and crop rotation can be measures to decrease the nitrate losses. But the increase of the harvest index of oilseed rape was not a measure, and I didn't show you the results. We had some success in looking for an increased options to optimize nitrogen rates for oilseed rape by taking into account the n amounts of oilseed rape crops in harvest. Normally we then make n dressings in spring, but this was an advantage due to the incomparable with the current practice of soil mineral nitrogen analysis in spring. So, thank you for your attention, and sorry for a little...